In the past couple of weeks, we as a local community and as a global community have certainly felt the winds of life blow strong against us, maybe more than usual. Just this past week, a few days ago, the stock market, I don't know if you know anything about it, took a plunge. One of the deepest plunges since 2008. Over a week ago, a senseless act of violence in Norway took numerous lives. And just yesterday, over 30 U.S. troops were killed in an operation in Afghanistan. Here in this church, we've lost four people in the last 3 or 4 weeks. We've had several services, interments, and funerals. It is easy to be a people of faith in good times. When we come together to celebrate, when we have meals, festivities, conferences. But when our safety, our livelihood, and our security is shaken to its core, it is normal for us to ask questions. Perhaps some of us, in the face of difficult waves that crash around us, we ask things like, where is God in this moment? Does God really care for us in these times? How can we believe in a good God when bad things happen around us? The hymn that we just sang, one of my favorite, "When the storms of life are raging, stand by me." They were written by a very famous African-American pastor, Dr. Charles Albert Tinley. He certainly knew something about the storms of life. He was a child during the Civil War. His father was a slave. His mother was a freed black woman. And therefore, he was a young freed man. But he lived among slaves. He was threatened and persecuted. He taught himself Hebrew and Greek while he was a janitor of a church in Philadelphia. And ultimately, he himself became a pastor and known as the Prince of Preachers and Pastors. But someone who had gone through life-threatening events and who had lost loved ones and who had been threatened and persecuted himself, he knew to return to the table of trust, not of doubt, but to say that when storms of life are raging, not where is God, where are you, but God, be with me, please stand with me in this moment. In the story that Katie read for us from the Gospel of Matthew, we hear a familiar story. Jesus had sent his disciples without him across a lake in a boat. He wanted to take time to reflect and to pray alone. And then it says early in the morning, my guess is somewhere around midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, it was in the middle of a storm that Jesus came to his disciples, and we all know what he was doing. He was walking on the water. At first, the disciples, when they saw him at a distance, they were frightened because they thought that he was a ghost or a spirit. But Jesus quickly told them from afar that it was him, and he said, "Do not be afraid." Peter, using similar language to Satan or the tempter who tempted Jesus in the desert, he said to Jesus, "If you are who you say you are, Lord, if it is you, then you will ask me to come and walk with you on the water." He tells Jesus to prove his identity by giving Peter the same power as him to walk on the water. Peter knows that he by himself could never do it, but he wanted Jesus to give some sort of proof of identification. And Jesus simply says, "Peter, come." Immediately, Peter gets a few steps on the top of the water and he realizes what he has gotten himself into. Perhaps he looked back and saw that the boat was out of grasp. He felt the winds that were blowing around him. The clouds above him were grumbling and the sea below him was wild. Quickly, Peter sinks. I don't think it was a slow sink. I've never seen much of a slow sink with a person. Perhaps he plunged into the water, and in a split second, out of fear, he said, "Jesus, Lord, Lord, save me." We know that Jesus grabbed him, maybe by the collar, and he brought Peter to safety in the boat. And then immediately the storm that had been raging for several hours calmed, and the disciples worshiped Jesus as the Son of God. This is a well-known story. Perhaps each one of us heard this story as a child. It's been referenced and parodied in almost every stage of popular culture in the West. Walking on water has now come to be a prerequisite for being a divine, miraculous figure. How often have we said or seen a reference to walking on water? Today, I want to take a fresh look at this passage. As we have heard it growing up, I'm sure we've heard many takes and many interpretations of it, but I want you to take those approaches to this passage, and I want you to press the pause button, set them aside. This passage is sometimes used to lift up Peter as a failure. There are many passages in which we shame Peter. This is one of them, because he didn't have the faith to walk on water, to stay afloat. But the same passage by other people is used to shame the disciples, because at least Peter had the guts to step out of the boat, and it was the disciples who were cowering in the corner. For me, I'm not interested in shaming either the Peter or the disciples, but it's simply an allegory to talk about the flawed human relationship between all people and God. It represents, even though a historic event, it represents our flawed trust in God and the cycle of trust and breaking trust over and over again. It's this idea of trust that jumps out of the passage to me, and I want to focus on with you. Trust is a simple word. It's similar to faith, but in this moment I like it better because faith has a lot of baggage. Faith has with it connotations of dogma, denomination, or religious practice. Trust is something that is shared between spouses, between close friends, between a child and a parent. Trust is the simple yet very deep force that allows us to open up to ourselves and to soar. If we don't have trust in our lives, we become closed off. We lose our relationships. We can become insecure, paranoid, and perhaps even self-destructive when we have no trust in our lives. We trust that there is something greater at work. We trust intrinsically that even when we go through loss, we are not abandoned, and even though we may seem to sink, a loving God is there to keep us and to embrace us. In the passage today, we're reminded that we trust God imperfectly, but as Shona shared with the children, that trust grows with relationship. The idea in this passage is that Jesus did not require Peter to walk on the water. Now, despite what you may think or what you've been taught in Bible school or Sunday school, I want you to think about that fact. Jesus did not come to the boat and say, "Get up, come out here and join me, and we're going to parade around the boat." But Jesus came to them, and it was Peter's requirement of testing Jesus that brought him onto the water. Jesus came to them on the sea. He didn't ask them to come to him, but it was Peter's need for Jesus to prove himself that brought him on the water. And it was once Peter stepped into the water, he realized that this was not for the faint of heart, but despite his failing trust, Jesus grabbed him and ultimately kept him safe. How often do we put God in the place of proving God's self? Or how often do we put ourselves in the water to walk across it? It is when we trust only ourselves for security. Thank you. I apologize. How often? How often when we go through the storms of life that we ask God to prove to us that God is present? I've done it, probably this morning. And then how often is it that if we don't put God on trial, that we decide that our security, our happiness, and our peace is really up to one person, ourselves? That's when we put ourselves on the water and we attempt to do what only God can do. That we try to walk in the waves and we try to step where the water will not hold our feet. If we trust only ourselves for security and believe that we alone are responsible for our successes or blessings, I promise you, my sisters and brothers, this perspective cannot last forever. Sooner or later, relationships around us fail. Even the people we love the most, people we trust the most, because we are human in one way or another, they fail. The money markets decline. Loved ones who we expect to always be with us may get ill or pass away. Our trust in God is simply to name that there is something much deeper at work in this world than our own efforts. We cannot do it alone because there is something much greater than we that can hold us up and give us peace and hope, even when the waters around us are rocky. Trust. I want you to think about this word today. Trust. God comes to us just as Jesus came to the disciples on the boat, requiring nothing from us, not requiring us to perform miracles, only asking of our trust. We don't trust that we will be spared difficulty. We don't trust that we will be immune to disease or tragedy. But we trust that despite the storm, we ultimately will be held up. God made you. God knows you. And God loves you. And God will, despite the storm, embrace you. Something that's easy to forget that in this passage, even after Peter's faith failed, he did not drown. Jesus' hand gently brought him back into the boat. As I mentioned earlier in the announcements, I returned earlier this week from pilgrimage to a community in Tizay in southern France. I was with 24 other pilgrims, two from our church. And even though it was my third pilgrimage in Tizay, each time I go, I learn and experience something completely different. This time, I was amazed at the fact that each year, even as our society seems to grow more and more secular, over 5,000 kids, I say kids, up to age 29, 5,000 pilgrims come to this place where there are monks. They gather, they worship three times a day. This doesn't seem to be something that would draw people from Serbia and Croatia and Australia. Yet 5,000 people from over 70 countries came in the same week that we were there looking for something. They were searching for something. Even though some of them may not have seemed to have come for the right reasons, our group was astonished that some of them came because it was a cheap place to camp. But even though some of them may not have come with the same sort of seeking that we would expect, 5,000 young people came to this community, which the founder called a community of trust on earth. They were seeking something. They were seeking something deep. And I dare to say they were seeking to find something that they were not experiencing at home. They didn't find in their denominational churches. They didn't find in their families. And they wouldn't find in their communities. There was something about the experience of Tizay that brought people together. After we worked together, we ate together, we worshiped together for 7 days, I would say the single thread that bound us together was a deep sense of trust. Trust, knowing that there is something bigger in our lives. Not agreement, not doctrine, not creed. We walked away with different perspectives, some Orthodox, some Catholic, some Methodist, some Lutheran. But we came united by a single force, which is trust. There's so much in our faith that is a mystery, and I would say it is the trust that undergirds our faith that is the greatest mystery, because we don't know exactly what we are going to get on the other side, but we know that God formed us and holds us. I don't know what waves may be crashing in your life. Maybe the waves have just settled after a season of storm. But I do know that God has formed each of us and has not required us to perform miracles, but requires us to trust. And even when our trust fails, God's faith is constant and steady, is faithful in our lives and holds us. Today I stand behind this table of trust. In a few moments, we're going to come forward and we're going to have an opportunity to take bread and wine. This is a table that is open to all people, and no matter what our baggage, no matter what our winds or our waves, no matter what is happening in our lives, we are called together to this holy mystery to trust that there is something greater at work in our lives and that our joy doesn't have to come from temporal happiness. It is my prayer that as we come to this table, that we also may be united in a seeking trust. God will hold us and will comfort us. Will you pray with me? God, when the storms of our life rage, we ask that you will stand by us. Be present in the faces of others. Be present in your embrace of love. Forgive us, God, when our love fails, when our trust fails. Hold us and save us from the sinking waters. God, we give you thanks for forming us and knowing us and loving us. We ask all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.